ready to do your will. Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. Refine as fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let nobody else take His place. So that I you may know His power.
I'd like to share what the Holy Spirit, I believe, has given us. No new revelation, but I believe that God builds upon revelation that He gives us, and He illumines our minds to understand yet more of His revealed word. And this morning our title is Obey My Voice and I Will Be Your God. Obey My Voice and I will be your God. Jeremiah 7:23, it says this, but this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. And Jeremiah is reminding rebellious Israel of the command that God gave the children of Israel, that the key to walk with Him was to obey His voice and that they would dwell in safety and in peace and in prosperity. And that principle still holds today. It holds to individuals, it holds to churches, it holds to nations, countries, that divine principle. And of course, Jeremiah brings that right in the context of not believing deception, false teachers, those lying words. But he brings them back to saying, obey the voice of God, his voice, no other voice. And also, he says back in verse 22, for I did not speak to your fathers or commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. So he didn't speak to them primarily about what they could do or burnt offerings or that sort of thing. He spoke to them about obeying God. And of course, we know the story of Saul. Saul made that same mistake. He thought that by offering up sacrifice to God that he was going to please God. But of course, Saul was told to go in and destroy all the enemy, which of course he didn't. And Samuel had to come and prophesy the admonishments over to him. And it says in verse 24 of the same chapter, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. So they followed the deception of their own hearts. And if you want to follow the deception of your own hearts, then the devil is going to make sure that you've got all the false prophets and teachers that are going to minister to that. And that divine principle still works today. And that is why there are so many cults, deception, because man wants to hear what his evil heart wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear that which is going to work in him to obey God. In other words, he can't be honest. He cannot be honest with himself and face that fundamental problem that we have, that we are disobedient. But only the humble will acknowledge the fact that they are disobedient, that they can't obey in the natural, but call upon the mercy and grace of God. And if that's the heart and spirit that you'll have, then God says, I will send to you the right prophets, the right teachers, and you will hear my voice and walk in my ways and keep my commandments. That is fundamentally the whole way of walking with God, that those that do and those that don't. That's really it, in a nutshell. But I want to open up more about obedience. Now, obedience is really to comply. It's guidelines, principles, rules. It's to follow direction, or the direction of another who gives you those guidelines. Now, that is really our understanding of obey. But like all things, you need to go to Old Testament. We need to understand the Hebrew understanding of obeying. And in light of our obedience, obedience to God. And the Hebrew understanding is based more on actually hearing. To obey, in the Hebrew, it's how you hear. Because how you hear is going to work that obedience in you. So we automatically start to assume, don't we? Oh, I've got to obey. I've got to do this. I have got to do what mother, father said, or whatever it is. That is the rebellious way of obeying. And little wonder we don't obey. But God gets it right. And he said, you will obey me. I'll get you to obey me, and I'm going to show you how it works. It's not by how you think you've been told, or maybe how your parents demanded that obedience from you. God shows us it comes actually by the way we hear. And that's the whole essence of all of this. You see, the reason being is because God reveals himself to man by either voice or words. So because he reveals himself in that way, and I'm not necessarily talking about creation, because we can see the seas, the hills, the trees, the stars, the heavens and everything, and all of that speaks about the glory of God, but it's not really, that's not really going to get you to obey God. It may influence and help to a certain extent, but God, knowing man's heart that is fallen, he knows that is not enough. And so God had to reveal himself. And he began to reveal himself the moment that Adam fell. God spoke to Adam in the garden. There's the voice of God. Even God spoke to Adam after he fell. But gradually, the hearing of God became marred. What began to do that? Sin. I will even take it a step further, and I hope that this doesn't offend your Puritan ears. But actually this, what we hold, wasn't really meant to be. We hold these 66 books because of sin. Rebellion. We were really created to hear from God. That he speaks to us and that we speak to him. The same mode that what we do with one another. We speak one to another because God has given us a mouth, a tongue. That's why divination, mind reading, those things of the occult are wrong. That is not how God wants us to communicate. God has never created anyone to start reading the mind of somebody else. That is wrong. That is wickedness. And so on. No, we were created to hear the voice of God. But because of sin, rebellion, God began also to communicate to man in another way. And that was through revelation. And revelation has to be written, has to be recorded, has to be put down. And so we gradually begin, through the prophets, through the teachers and that, we begin to have the revelation of God revealed to us in these 66 books. So with regards to God's revelation, to hearing, we have to hear. And how do we hear? We have to hear by faith. That's now how we hear. We have to appropriate it by faith. We receive the divine word and translate it into actions. To hear is to act. When you do not act according to that which you hear, you have not heard properly. And therefore, because you don't hear properly, you are still lacking in that area of faith. You are only going to obey when you hear. You are not going to obey because you are told to. You are not going to obey because you've just read that in the Word of God. You are only going to obey, I am only going to obey by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. And we appropriate that by faith. In other words, we come to this meeting this morning, by faith I'm going to hear that word. I'm going to release my faith to hear that word this morning. Now that may work in each one of us in different ways. It may work by the fact that yes, you're just listening. It may work by the fact you're writing down notes. It also may work by the fact that you take away the teachings and you hear and listen to again and again and again. We're all different the way we take in, but it's coming by hearing. That hearing is working that obedience to obey God, which is greater, better than even sacrifice. And we appropriate all that by faith. You see, to really hear God's word is really to obey. If I obey, then that's a clear sign I hear God's word. I hear it. Because I've heard it, I obey it. And so, one willingly is, if you like, you're willingly placing yourself under a responsibility on the word that you hear. I am willingly coming here today, placing myself under this word. I am willingly making myself responsible in the light that I'm going to hear. And the responsibility is that I am to obey and act upon that which I hear. That's what causes maturity. That's what causes us to grow up from children into sons. I am willing to become responsible to the light and revelation that I am receiving. Because as a result of it, it must translate into acts and deeds, which is a sign of obedience. Now, not all are actually willing to do that. They may not say that in so many words. They may come and listen to a few teachings and think, oh, I'm not going to walk this. This is far too hard. So what they prove is they're not really willing to become responsible. You see. Now, Jesus many times referred, whether it be in parables, in his teachings, whatever it would be, he often referred to how you hear. How you hear. He was using the Hebrew understanding of hearing with regard to obeying. That's why he didn't come with the laws. You must do this. You mustn't do that. That is why he exposed the scribes and Pharisees. Because that's exactly what they were doing. But they didn't realize we were creating rebellion. We're creating bondage. And people were under utter bondage. And no matter what they could do, no matter how good they were, they could never be saved. But their biggest deception, of course, was they thought, well, we are all right because we're of the Abrahamic seed. We can't go wrong. And Jesus then began to realize, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. And that's, of course, what offended them. And so Jesus began to show it's on the basis of how you hear. And he was exposing these religious people that they could not hear. Their ears were totally blocked. And therefore, because they were not hearing, they had created their own religion, their own obedience, their own dead works. And that's why he prophesied the woes to them. Right, let's just look to a few scriptures here. Let's look to Luke 8 and verse 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. And here you know the story of the parable of the sower. That's one we talk much about here. And I'm not going to go through all of that because you know where the seed falls. Some falls by the wayside, some falls on the rock, some among thorns and it's choked, and some falls on good ground and brings forth a crop of 100-fold and so on. And then he says, doesn't he, in verse 8, but others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he said these things, he cried, he who has an ear to hear, let him or her hear. Now, why does he say that? What is he saying? Well, he's appealing to the Hebrew understanding to obey. He's telling them, this is how you're going to obey. And I'm telling you that seed will go into some, and other seed will not go into some. And he's saying, if you're hearing this parable, then you're going to understand how faith will come and how you will obey. See? And some, of course, did, and some didn't. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 43. And here, Jesus gives the story of the parable of the tares that is explained. How God will separate in the last days. And then he says in verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ears to hear, let him hear. Here he says it again. And many times I can give you numerous illustrations where Jesus is bringing this up. And the reason he's doing it is because he's bringing up the principle, obey my voice and I will be your God. And Jesus was learning obedience even unto death, which we shall look at later on. And so he says, if you obey this, if you want this, if you want God to work this in your life and in your heart, then your ears are going to be open and you're going to hear the inner principle, the inner law to this, you see. How about the book of Revelation? There is a load of this. You know, it was just interesting making a sort of quick survey on, you know, hear my voice, as to how much there is. But the seven churches in Asia Minor, and I give just the first one to you in Revelation 2 verse 7. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 7. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In other words, he could have said, he who obeys, let him hear what the Spirit says. And then those that overcome. So he was showing again to those seven churches in Asia Minor, if you obey, and it comes by how you hear, you will be preserved and kept. God knows you can't obey. God knows I can't obey. I am rebellious. I don't even have to work at it. It's as natural as breathing. And so God says, to work that obedience in you, the key to it, the start to it, is on the basis of how you hear. So I'm going to suggest and raise to you this morning that how we hear is very important. It is vital. So you may say to yourself, well, how do I know if I'm hearing properly? You know, there is so much of God's word to hear. I may forget it, or I can't hold it or retain it. Well, that is why we pray. That is why I encourage you, whether it's yourself individually or when we come together for a prayer meeting, it is important that we pray for these meetings. Why are we praying for these meetings? We're praying because as we pray for these meetings, it's helping us to hear as God wants us to hear. Do you realize you can only hear by the fact that God sends in a meeting ministering spirits, angels. Angels bring us the revelation from God's throne. The anointing. Ministering spirits open that word up for us to be able to hear that word. And so as you pray, as you intercede, or even war, or whatever it is, you are releasing ministering spirits into a meeting. That's why it's vital. Because it's all based on obeying God. Because only obedience can please God, you see. That is why Adam and Eve were put into the Garden of Eden on a probation, in a sense. And it was all about God was going to watch, will they do that one thing that pleases me more than anything else? Will they obey me? And they did. And hence, we're here today as a result of that. So God knows man can't obey. So he's showing us how we learn to obey. This is the key. This is the principle. This is the ruling. That we hear what is said. And the only way we hear is to pray, is to come ready to a meeting, prayed up, to come with a right heart, to come with clean hands and a pure heart into his presence, to worship and to praise him, to give ourselves time to enter into his presence, to the gifts to be in operation. All of this is preparing the heart, the soul, the mind, everything to receive that hearing, the word, the seed. Can you see this? For that one purpose, that we may obey. Now, where there's still areas in your life that you're not obeying, it's because you're still not yet hearing. Or it can be you don't yet want to hear. Oh, but I do. But you don't. And you see, this is where we're going to know. You say to me, but I am hearing, I want to hear. And the only way you're going to know whether you are hearing or you're not hearing is as God deals with you and you keep that knee bowed in his presence, and one day you're going to get up and say, Lord, I'm not hearing. And the reason I'm not is because I don't want to hear. That's the honesty. And when you can start approaching God in that way and be honest, then God will begin to unblock your ears. And the moment you start to hear, obedience will correspond because it's appropriated by faith. It's not appropriated by your efforts. You see, in the early days, we tended to think that obedience came by your efforts, my efforts. And some of us absolutely gave up in despair, utter despair. I'm getting worse as I go on in this walk. Instead of getting better, it's getting worse. You know, even the Apostle Paul, he struggled with this one. All saints who mean business with God will struggle with this one. And there comes a point in your life when you just put your hands up in absolute, utter despair, absolute desperation. There's not obedience in me in some things. And I've tried, and I've tried, I've fasted, I've done this, I've done all the principles, I've done all the five principles of faith, and I'm no nearer. And your problem is because you're still not hearing it. Now you can either be offended by that, like the Pharisees and the scribes were, or you can say, praise God, he's getting to the root of my problem. This is good news for me. This is good news. I thought I was hearing, but I'm not hearing. Because that is how obedience comes. It comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now how many times have we recited that one in this assembly? For years, nearly 30 years. But today we're hearing it in a new light, aren't we? Huh? Aren't we? I am. I don't know about you. Well, if some of you heard this before, praise God. Because I didn't. Seven churches here. They're important churches. These are churches that spiritually speak to us of the last day. Here they are. Let him hear. He that has an ear, let him hear. Applying to Old Testament understanding, Hebrew. It's on the basis of hearing. Now, with that hearing, we then start to apply wisdom. And wisdom is needed because in hearing, obeying is active. Faith is active. So in actions, in our actions, we need to have a knowledge and a wisdom in applying it. You see? You say to me, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I could be speaking to you about how Jesus fed the 5,000. And you say, right, I've heard it. And you go off from the meeting, you go into Woking, you go into the fishmongers, you buy some fish, you go and buy some loaves, and everyone out there say, come on here, you watch. God's, you know, we're going to offer this up as a thanksgiving, and God's going to multiply it. That ain't wisdom. Nor knowledge. See? That's not how you appropriate faith. That occurred because of a need. And if there's a need, then God can still do the same and he can use you to do it. Do you get my points? So we need to apply that wisdom. Matthew 7, 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. So Jesus is speaking about commitment, discipleship. First, you consider. You consider that, because wisdom is needed for faith, to stand, to endure to the end. So there it is. It's important with that which we hear, because God has given us brains. And that's why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Hearing. And what is the following? Obedience. They've heard, obeyed, and followed. There's the principle. That was the same principle God worked with Abraham. Abraham spoke to him, called him, and he followed in obedience. And as a result of that, God said, I will bless all nations because of that obedience. We would not be here today if Abraham had not obeyed the voice of God. We would not be blessed. That is why nations appear to be blessed. Because God says, I will not only pour rain upon the righteous, but the unrighteous. But also the fact that God made a promise that the Abrahamic seed. America, even though it's the 21st century Sodom and Gomorrah, but still is blessed. Why? Because God made promise to Abraham and all nations. But God can also take down a nation, you see. That's the mercy of God. The very fact that God is still blessing this country and we have a good standard of living is because of the Abrahamic covenant, and that he's got a remnant, and God says, I'll bless you through it. It may not last forever. We don't know. That's why I say that it's important we pray. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the country. Thank God that we continue to come and worship God weekly and not persecuted. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And that's always been the principle. But Saul, King Saul, he violated that. He violated it. He knew what he should have done. He heard, but he didn't do it. He wanted to be religious. He didn't hear what the prophet said. And that was his problem. He didn't want to hear. He wanted to do it his way. And that's where we go unstuck. And we've all done it. Or God sometimes has let us for a season. He's let the hedge down. He said, okay, you go your own way. And you go out of blessing. You lose the peace. Things don't work right. Get into problems. All those things. Until God then brings us back. And then he shows us it's obedience. And what is he showing you? He says, you've not wanted to hear. You see? You've not wanted to hear. Now, I think we can all really relate to this. Most of us, if not all of us, we've shared, we've witnessed, we've seen in this assembly over the years where people want to hear what they want to hear and other bits they don't want to hear. And as a result of it, what they sow is what they reap. And sadly, we have some who are not with us today, who should be, because they didn't want to hear certain things. They wanted to hear about the blessings. They wanted to hear about, you know, having power with God and having their new car and new home and all that business. Oh, yes, I mean, you get the whole world to hear that. But they didn't want to hear about the fact that you go through much trial and tribulation to make it into the kingdom of God. They didn't want to hear that without faith it is impossible to please God. And that means in everything. They become dull of hearing. And what it simply means is when you become dull of hearing, it simply means I'm now going to disobey and not obey any longer. And that's where the result happens. And so they become disobedient. And as a result of that, God can no longer work with them to what he wants to do, you see. Again, I remind us that God, in his mercy, there are prodigals. God shows us in the word of God that there are prodigals. But look what those prodigal sons have got to go through. Simply because they just didn't want to hear things that God wanted them to hear. And look what they have to go through, deep waters, to bring about and work about that obedience. Now you see, a man or woman of obedience is going to see what happens to other people. They're going to see what's happened to those that don't obey. And you're going to say to yourself, Lord, in your mercy, I don't want to go that route. I don't want to be like that. And so God says to you, right, well, you've got to start hearing. You've got to make sure you hear rightly. You hear how I want you to hear. Which raises another question. Have you ever asked God to hear how he wants you to hear? Not to hear how you want to hear, but to hear how he wants you to hear. That is a very good prayer to pray and ask God to do. That, Father, I want to hear how you want me to hear. You see, James says you have not because you ask not. We're not asking these deeper things of God. Now, I cannot believe those of you who've just heard what I've said, and I noticed when I said that, down, up, when the pencils started to write that one down. You see, or you're going to hear it again on the CD, or it's gone in. I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh, yes. There's not one of you, when you go before God and ask him that, you'll be in unbelief. Huh? Because you believe it. You believe it. You've heard it. And you know God's going to do it. Because he's getting to the root of some of your problems. Some of you don't obey. Some of you are still rebelling in areas of God. And the reason you're rebelling, because you don't want to hear. And God is showing you, I know you don't want to hear, I know it's bad news, but I will help you. That's where grace comes in. Grace is there to help you listen and take on board those things you don't really want. And that's why we take up the cross daily and follow him, because that helps you. There's not one of us sitting here this morning who can honestly say, I want to hear everything God says, and I will receive it with gladness, with joy, and praise the Lord, and so forth. You won't. You won't. There still are areas that you're finding you're battling with God, and you're still not quite wanting to hear properly. And the reason you're not hearing properly, and that's why there's disobedience, and there's not the faith there. See? Because faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. So how do we do this? You get in your closet. Come now, let us reason together. That's what God was trying to do with Israel. God was trying to get Israel to come and reason with him, and saying to them, look, I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to have to tell you. How many parents have said that to your children? Listen, I know you don't want to hear this, but you're going to have to hear it. Have you ever said it to them? Of course you have. And that's what God says to us. Why? Because you're getting them to try and obey to do it for their own good. And so how much more with our divine heavenly Father works that same principle, you see. That's why the Bible says that we're to pray to obey masters, leaders, those at work. Children are to obey parents. In actual fact, it says that disobedience to parents is a mark of depravity. Did you know that? That's how the Bible shows it, that disobedience to parents is depravity. And that's pretty bad. And obedience to Christ. The highest goal is to obey God from the heart. And that brings me to my final conclusion in this. I've spoken about obedience. I've spoken to you. It comes by hearing. It's all about how you hear. But what God looks for now under new covenant is that you obey from the heart. Under Old Covenant, the children of Israel were commanded to obey God. That's what the law said. Obey the Lord your God. That's why I called it, Obey My Voice and I Will Be Your God. There's the condition. Under New Covenant, it's about attitude. It's about motive. Now you can do two things today, how you've listened to this teaching. You can listen to it and say, oh well, I better obey. I suppose I better do what Full Gospel Assembly says. I've listened to the pastor. It's obviously from God, and that's what you have to do in this walk. Now, I'm not saying that you're doing that like I've just done it. I am rather dramatizing, but we can very subtly be doing that. Or we can say, Father, I desire with all my heart to obey you because that is what really pleases you. And I want to please you. Look at the difference. Is God going to turn any one of his children away who comes to him with such a heart like that? Of course he's not. He says not only that, but he says, I'll help you to do it. And there's the good news of the gospel. He's going to help us to do it. Because he knows it's impossible, you see. Don't believe me? Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 to 18. You know, you hear these deep truths coming out of the Apostle Paul. They come out because he too was a man walking similar like us, learning these things. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though we were slaves of sin, yet you obey from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And have been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. So the good news of the gospel is, Christ has delivered me. He has set me free from sin. That is such good news to my heart. I want to do anything for my God and Father. That's the result of it. That's what you say. Because God has forgiven me, I am not going to go to hell, the eternal lake of damnation. I want to do what I can for my Father. And so we learn. What can we do for our Father? What can I give back to God? We can't give back anything. But he says, you can give me your heart. And he says, I'll change that heart of stone to a heart of flesh. That's the promise. That's the work that's being carried out now. As in revival. Do you know something? God opened my eyes this morning. People are crying out for a revival. Crying out for a revival. And they have failed to see, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this great revival that God's now doing in process. And do you know what it is? He said, in the last days, I'll change those hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Is that not happening? Is that not your experience? Certainly is mine. And yet, Christians do not see it. Crying out for revival. Crying out, they think evangelism is going to bring revival. It all comes from the fact of a changed heart. A changed heart. And God says, I'm not only going to do it with the church, with Gentiles, but I'll do it with my own people, my chosen people, Israel. That's what the prophecy is. It's twofold. So we obey now from the heart. And the only way we can do that is we offer. We offer ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Romans 12. What are you doing? You're offering your heart. That's what it means. And so as you offer it to him, God says, I'll work with you. And there's the analogy of the potter and the clay. When all these analogies, parable of the sowers, all these parables Jesus gave, all really, at the end of the day, derived to one thing, about obeying God. That's all it is. The very thing man cannot do in himself, in the natural. And as I said at the beginning, that's why the scribes and the Pharisees were so resentful, bitter, angry, and persecuted him and put him to the cross. You see, religion is disobedience to God. And let me go down on record having said that, but that is what it is. It is strange sacrifice. It is not the real sacrifice God wants. And Saul revealed he was religious. And that was the problem, you see. Well, there we are, friends. I trust that that's been a help and blessing. It certainly was to me as I was preparing this. And, you know, I marvel how God just opens up more and more as we go on in this. You know, you think, is there any more that one could learn about faith? That you can learn about the Word of God? Well, I say now, it's going to take eternity. I think we're just, at the moment, seeing things through a mirror. Darkly. We've got eternity to carry on with all of this. So what are we entering into? What is this going to be like, you know? That we're entering into the glory of God and this word being unfolded, opening up more and more and more. Do you know that you are being fed direct revelation in these last days? Do we really know this? I'm not saying this because of me. I don't want you to come and say, oh, praise God, we've got a pastor here and a teacher here, you know, direct revelation. We're simply gifts. God can remove these gifts. God can remove me. Don't think I'm infallible. But as a group, as a church, we are so blessed. God has again gone right to the point, right to the root of how we can obey him. And it's not by human effort. It's not by you going away, right, I'm going to obey God now, you know, and off you go. Because we fall flat on our face. We've all done it. It's how I'm hearing. And God has shown me this morning, there's some areas I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear that. Have you ever said, no, I'm not ready for that yet, God. I'm not ready for that. We've done it. We've prayed about it. We've asked him to do it. And then when he starts to take us away, oh, I'm not ready yet, Lord. Praise the Lord. He doesn't give up on us. It comes by your hearing. And if you've heard rightly this morning, if your ears have been open, and you've heard what God has said, I can tell you, I can guarantee it by the word of God, there's going to be more obedience coming in your life that pleases him more than anything, because it's coming out of a heart relationship. If you love someone, you want to obey that. Obey. That is why in a man and wife, when they come together in union, in oneness, it's about obedience. It's about respect. It's about trust. You take those away from a relationship and you haven't got one. You haven't got one. That is why marriages are breaking up, because trust goes. Don't trust anymore. Can't rely on them. They don't want to obey. They don't want to please the other partner and so forth. And these relationships break up. It's exactly the same in the house of God. It's exactly the same with the relationship with God. You see? That's the divine principle that God has set in motion. And to violate it, to go against it, we bear the repercussions. And we're seeing in society, we're seeing in the world. It's not just this country. It's in the whole world now. This whole falling away is a worldwide global thing. You know, we tend to think, what's happening to this country? Because at times that's all we can see. But I can assure you, it's not happening just in this country. I periodically travel to Europe. I was only in a country this year. And I came back From visiting that country, I thought, Lord, it's not England at all. It's not just England. It's happening all around the world. You're seeing it. A falling away. And because of what man sows, so he reaps, you are now seeing from about 25, 30 down, you are seeing a breed coming forth, a generation that is completely different from any other generation that's coming forth. Quite different. A different spirit. Quite different. It's an alien spirit. It's alarming. That is why I know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. Because he cannot let that go on. Because that next generation that then has their children, God help us. God help us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we at times run out of words to express how grateful we are. And none of us deserve it. But Lord, again, you have challenged us on how we hear. And Lord, anyone who doesn't really want to hear what you have said this morning, Father, one would have to question whether they're really saved. But Lord, I thank you that you have put these godly affections within our heart. You have put your spirit within us. For your spirit within us, as that same spirit that was in Christ, wants to obey. Because Jesus learnt those things that he suffered, he learnt obedience through those. And his obedience was he went to the cross, because we would not be here otherwise. That is a sign of obedience, and he did it because he loved his Father. And we do it, Lord, because we love you. We want to hear because we love you. We want our ears unblocked where we're not hearing as we should do. It's because we love you. That is the motive. Not because we must or we should or we have to. If that is our motive, then what is the point of coming here to church? Because it's simply religious. So, Father, I thank you that you are setting us free in this hour. And so I pray you'll bless us, you will preserve us, you will keep us, and ever cause your face to shine upon us, Father, and that we will continue to look up as our redemption draws nigh. Keep us close to you, Lord, that we spend that quality time with you, Father, daily. And until then, Lord, we thank you for your blessings over us this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. I see the